Chapter 42. 20 years feedback. Since the original publication of this book, I now have 20 years feedback, both from my own consultations and from the book itself. Originally, my efforts to spread the word were a struggle. My method was poo-pooed by the so-called experts. Now, smokers fly in from all over the world to attend my consultations, and more members of the medical profession attend them than members of any other profession. The book is already regarded in Britain as the most effective aid for stopping smoking, and its reputation is rapidly spreading throughout the rest of the world. I'm not a do-gooder. I wage my war, which I emphasize is not against smokers, but against the nicotine trap, for the purely selfish reason that I enjoy it. Every time I hear of a smoker escaping from the prison, I get a feeling of great pleasure, even when it has nothing to do with me. You can also imagine the immense pleasure I obtain from the thousands of grateful letters that I've received over the years. There has also been considerable frustration. The frustration is caused mainly by two categories of smoker. First, in spite of the warning in the previous chapter, I'm disturbed by the number of smokers who find it easy to stop yet get hooked again and find they can't succeed the next time. This applies not only to smokers who read or listen to the book, but also to those who attend my consultations. A man telephoned me a few years ago. He was very distraught. In fact, he was crying. He said, "I'll pay you £1,000 if you can help me stop for a week. I know if I can just survive a week, I'll be able to do it." I told him that I charge a fixed fee, and that was all he need pay. He attended a group session, and much to his surprise, found it easy to stop. He sent me a very nice thank you letter. Practically the last thing I say to ex-smokers leaving my session is, "Remember, you must never smoke another cigarette." This particular man said, "Have no fear, Alan. If I manage to stop, I'll definitely never smoke again." I could tell that the warning hadn't really registered. I said, "I know you feel like that at the moment, but how will you feel 6 months on?" He said, "Alan, I'll never smoke again." About a year later, there was another phone call. "Alan, I had a small cigar at Christmas, and now I'm back on 40 cigarettes a day." I said, "Do you remember when you first phoned? You hated it so much, you were going to pay me £1,000 if you could stop for a week." "I remember. Haven't I been stupid? Do you remember you promised me you would never smoke again? I know, I'm a fool." It's like finding someone up to his neck in a bog and about to go under. You help pull him out. He's grateful to you, and then 6 months later, dives straight back into the bog. Ironically, when this man attended a subsequent session, he said, "Can you believe it? I offered to pay my son £1,000 if he hadn't smoked by his 21st birthday. I paid up. He's now 22 and puffing away like a chimney. I can't believe he could be so stupid." I said, "I don't see how you can call him stupid. At least he avoided the trap for 22 years, and he doesn't know the misery he's in for. You knew it as well as anyone, and survived only a year." Smokers who find it easy to stop and start again pose a special problem. However, when you get free, please, please, don't make the same mistake. Smokers believe that such people start again because they're still hooked and are missing the cigarette. In fact, they find stopping so easy that they lose their fear of smoking. They think, "I can have an odd cigarette. Even if I do get hooked again, I'll find it easy to stop again." I'm afraid it just doesn't work that way. It's easy to stop smoking, but it's impossible to try to control the addiction. The one thing that is essential to becoming a non-smoker is not to smoke. The second category of smokers that causes me frustration consists of those who are just too frightened to make the attempt to stop, or, when they do, find it a great struggle. The main difficulties appear to be the following. 1. Fear of failure. There's no disgrace in failure, but not to try is plain stupidity. Look at it this way. You're hiding from nothing. The worst thing that can happen is that you fail, in which case you're no worse off than you are now. Just think how wonderful it would be to succeed. If you don't make the attempt, you have already guaranteed failure. 2. Fear of panic and of being miserable. Don't worry about it. Just think, what awful thing could happen to you if you never smoked another cigarette? Absolutely nothing. Terrible things will happen if you do keep smoking. In any case, the panic is caused by cigarettes and will soon be gone. The greatest gain is to be rid of that fear. Do you really believe that smokers are prepared to have their arms and legs removed for the pleasure they get from smoking? If you find yourself feeling panicky, deep breathing will help. If you're with other people and they're getting you down, get away from them. Escape to the garage or an empty office or wherever. If you feel like crying, don't be ashamed. Crying is nature's way of relieving tension. No one has ever had a good cry without feeling better afterwards. One of the awful things we do to young boys is to teach them not to cry. You see them trying to fight the tears back, but watch the jaw grinding away. In Britain, they teach us to keep a stiff upper lip, not to show any emotions. We are meant to show emotions, not to try to bottle them up inside. Scream or shout or have a tantrum. Kick a cardboard box or filing cabinet. Regard your struggle as a boxing match that you cannot lose. No one can stop time. Every moment that passes, that little monster inside you is dying. Enjoy your inevitable victory. 3. Not following the instructions. Incredibly, some smokers say to me, "Your method just didn't work for me." They then describe how they ignored not just one instruction, but practically all of them. For clarification, I will summarize these in the checklist at the end of the chapter. 4. Misunderstanding instructions. The chief problems appear to be these. I can't stop thinking about smoking. Of course you can't. And if you try, you'll create a phobia and be miserable. It's like trying to get to sleep at night. The more you try, the harder it becomes. I think about smoking 90% of my life. It's what you are thinking that's important. If you're thinking, "Oh, I'd love a cigarette," or "When will I be free?" you'll be miserable. If you're thinking, "Yippee, I am free," you'll be happy. When will the little physical monster die? The nicotine leaves your body very rapidly, but it's impossible to tell when your body will cease to suffer from the slight physical sensation of nicotine withdrawal. That empty, insecure feeling is identical to normal hunger, depression, or stress. All the cigarette does is increase the level of it. This is why smokers who stop by using the willpower method are never quite sure whether they've kicked it. Even after the body has ceased to suffer from nicotine withdrawal, if they suffer normal hunger or stress, their brain is still saying, "That means you want a cigarette." The point is, we don't have to wait for the nicotine craving to disappear. It's so slight that we don't even know it's there. We know it only as feeling, "I want a cigarette." When you leave the dentist after the final session, do you wait for your jaw to stop aching? Of course you don't. You get on with your life. Even though your jaw's still aching, you're elated. Waiting for the moment of revelation. If you wait for it, you are just causing another phobia. I once stopped for 3 weeks on the willpower method. I met an old school friend, an ex-smoker. He said, "How are you getting on?" I said, "I've survived 3 weeks." He said, "What do you mean you've survived 3 weeks?" I said, "I've gone 3 weeks without a cigarette." He said, "Well, what are you going to do? Survive the rest of your life? What are you waiting for? You've done it. You're a non-smoker." I thought, he's absolutely right. What am I waiting for? Unfortunately, because I didn't fully understand the nature of the trap at that time, I was soon back in it. But the point was noted. You become a non-smoker when you extinguish your last cigarette. The important thing is to be a happy non-smoker from the start. I'm still craving cigarettes. Then you're being very stupid. How can you claim, "I want to be a non-smoker," and then say, "I want a cigarette"? That's a contradiction. If you say, "I want a cigarette," you're saying, "I want to be a smoker." Non-smokers don't want to smoke cigarettes. You already know what you really want to be, so stop punishing yourself. I've opted out of life. Why? All you have to do is stop choking yourself. You don't have to stop living. Look, it's as simple as this. For the next few days, you'll have a slight trauma in your life. Your body will suffer the almost imperceptible aggravation of withdrawal from nicotine. Now bear this in mind. You are no worse off than you were. This is what you've been suffering the whole of your smoking life. Every time you've been asleep or in a church, supermarket or library. It didn't seem to bother you when you were a smoker, and if you don't stop, you'll go on suffering this distress for the rest of your life. Cigarettes don't make meals or drinks or social occasions. They ruin them. Even while your body is still craving nicotine, meals and social occasions are marvelous. Life is marvelous. Go to social functions, even if there are 20 smokers there. Remember that you are not being deprived. They are. Every one of them would love to be in your position. Enjoy being the prima donna and the center of attention. Stopping smoking is a wonderful conversation point, particularly when smokers see that you're happy and cheerful. They'll think that you're incredible. The important point is that you'll be enjoying life right from the start. There's no need to envy them. They'll be envying you. I'm miserable and irritable. That's because you haven't followed one of my instructions. Find out which one it is. Some people understand and believe everything I say, but still start off with a feeling of doom and gloom, as if something terrible were happening. You're doing not only what you'd like to do, but what every smoker on the planet would like to do. With any method of stopping, what the ex-smoker is trying to achieve is a certain frame of mind, so that whenever he thinks about smoking, he says to himself, "Yippee, I'm free." If that's your object, why wait? Start off in that frame of mind and never lose it. The rest of the book is designed to make you understand why there is no alternative. The checklist. If you follow these simple instructions, you cannot fail. 1. Make a solemn vow that you will never, ever smoke, chew, or suck anything that contains nicotine, and stick to your vow. 2. Get this clear in your mind. There is absolutely nothing to give up. By that I don't mean simply that you'll be better off as a non-smoker. You've known that all your life. Nor do I mean that although there's no rational reason why you smoke, you must get some form of pleasure or crutch from it, or you wouldn't do it. What I mean is there is no genuine pleasure or crutch in smoking. It's just an illusion, like banging your head against a wall to make it pleasant when you stop. 3. There is no such thing as a confirmed smoker. You're just one of the millions who've fallen for this subtle trap. Like millions of other ex-smokers who once thought they couldn't escape, you have escaped. 4. If at any time in your life you were to weigh the pros and cons of smoking, the conclusion would always be, a dozen times over, stop doing it, you're a fool. Nothing will ever change that. It's always been that way, and it always will be. Having made what you know to be the correct decision, don't ever torture yourself by doubting it. 5. Don't try not to think about smoking or worry that you're thinking about it constantly. But whenever you do think about it, whether it be today, tomorrow, or the rest of your life, think, "Yippee, I'm a non-smoker." 6. Do not use any form of substitute. Do not keep your own cigarettes. Do not avoid other smokers. Do not change your lifestyle in any way purely because you've stopped smoking. If you follow the above instructions, you will soon experience the moment of revelation. But, 7, don't wait for that moment to come. Just get on with your life, enjoy the highs, and cope with the lows. You'll find that in no time at all, the moment will arrive.